What is happening? Welcome to the Buzz Pitch Podcast, the morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today's March 22nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Really sorry that this one is late today. Lots of reasons for that, but it is draft weekend, and I've got this podcast just in time for you, and also with a lot of information from today's games that I'm super happy that you will be able to know before you make your drafts tonight, including Shane McClanahan leaving his game early today with a very clear arm injury. Is later announced as a triceps injury, and he's going to undergo imaging, and yeah, he is out for a while, guys. And this stinks so much. It does mean that Zach Littell is likely in that rotation spot out of the gate. It could also mean Joe Boyle, and then they use Zach Littell as the follower for Drew Rasmussen, and maybe even Boyle, and then they have that flexibility, as it is SP5 spot. But yeah, it's just bad news for McClanahan, and I don't really think that Joe Boyle is going to be that guy. Adrian Houser is not going to make the opening day roster. I was wrong, and I'm actually really surprised by it, but it means that the Rangers are going all in on Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker in that rotation, with both Cody Bradford and John Gray out for a considerable amount of time. Keep in mind that Patrick Corbin was signed to a deal, and he will be pitching for the Rangers when he is ramped up. It likely will be maybe the last week of April or something along those lines, so I'm not sure what happens at that point. Is it a six-man, which could make sense with Jacob deGrom in that rotation too, an injury history of Eovaldi and Malley as well. We'll see. Maybe there's another injury at that point. I don't know. And then when John Gray does come back, what happens? I don't know. Long story short, Leiter and Rocker are starting out of the gate, with Leiter being the interesting one here, as he looks like a more polished pitcher than Rocker. But to be honest, I don't expect either one to do well in April. In May, I think Jack Leiter could actually be that guy that we want him to be, but it's going to take some time for him to do this. Drew Thorpe will undergo Tommy John surgery, miss all of the 2025 season. Daniel Lynch IV will be part of the Royal squad, but in the bullpen, which means that Chris Bubich, yes, is indeed the SP5. I'm not so in on Bubich because I don't really love his first outing, his first matchup, and we have to wait a long time for it. He didn't look so sharp in his last one. There's more confusion at the moment, and I feel I don't really want to sit on Bubich while maybe going after other things instead. Cal Harrison and Keaton Wynn have been demoted to AAA. Harrison has also been reported to have lost 15 pounds due to a virus that I think a lot of people have gotten recently. And that means that you have Rop and Birdsong competing for that final rotation spot. Both of them are interesting upside plays. I'd say that Birdsong is a little more interesting just because from the data standpoint, it's 18 strikeouts and 0 walks in 12 innings. And I know that I've been down on Birdsong's overall command and his consistency, but I can't deny that fact. And maybe there are things that I'm missing. While Landon Rop has looked good, but he's also been shaking, a little volatile too, and there's more polish to be added there. So neither one is a slam dunk in my mind. I actually prefer Jordan Hicks now because he's at 97 miles per hour. I know it's wild, but he is more removed from the shag rug, the young man's floor, and looks like a 5+ inning quality start win guy in San Francisco, even if I don't love the splitter and the sweeper for strikes with Jordan Hicks. Clark Schmidt is going to begin the season on the IL after all. That means that both Carlos Carrasco and Will Warren are into that rotation out of the gate. Oh man, the Yankees are hurting. Marcus Stroman, Carrasco, and Will Warren were not supposed to be here. And here they are going through all of their depth. This is a startling turn of events really for the Yankees. Clark Schmidt should be back relatively soon, and he might not get drafted now, which might open the door for some IL value. Then again, I think he's kind of a Toby, and not really someone I have to get in my 12-teamers, but if you're lacking in wins, then he will be someone who will benefit your teams. Kedir Montero has been optioned to the minor leagues. That means that Jackson Jobe is the fifth starter. Oh my gosh! He's going to be likely piggybacked by Kenta Maeda out of the gate. Maeda is in the bullpen, and I actually think that Maeda might be a good win play early on in the year. I know it's nuts, but yeah, he's likely going to follow as Jobe probably doesn't go the full five or six. And I love Jackson Jobe. I think the four-seamer should be better as he works in the cutter and the breaking ball more. The breaking ball to me is an elite breaking ball, and it's the real ticket here as he has not utilized it to its fullest as of yet. And yes, I understand that the four-seamer, it does not have all the shape and all the amazing things that we normally want. It's still absolutely an above-average fastball. and it should get more whiffs as he uses it better and hopefully commands it better. I'm absolutely drafting a Jackson Jobe. Just remember, he won't be at his peak until like middle, end of April. Kyle Gibson is now an Oriole. They signed a one-year $5.25 million contract with him, which means that he does have a rotation spot once he's stretched out. But like Patrick Corbin, it won't be until probably the end of April. Now, that means that the logjam of Albert Suarez and Cade Povich is still present. And then you have Kyle Gibson coming back. I don't really know what's going on there. I would say it's going to be Povich after Suarez's last start. It's all weird in Baltimore, and honestly, the only person I'm touching is Zach Eflin at the end of my drafts. DJ Herz and Shinosuke Ogasawara, I think I got it this time, have been optioned to AAA by the Nationals. Not a huge surprise, and Michael Soroka has had a stellar spring, save for, of course, yesterday's game, which we'll talk about later. You have Chase DeLander also going to AAA, meaning Jake Woodford and Bradley Blaylock are the fifth, or maybe it's just Blaylock and no Woodford. I don't know. It's Colorado. You don't want to touch any of this. From yesterday's game, Zach Wheeler and Pablo Lopez pitched, and everything is cool there. Simeon Woods Richardson came after Lopez, and it wasn't good, but at least he had nearly 20 inches of vert on the four-seamer, and that's cool, but you went six earned runs in 4.1 innings with 12 base runners. So yeah, no. Jose Barrios, whatever, did Barrios things. He actually didn't even have his best curveball. He's a great undulator. Joe Ross went on the other side for the Phillies, and he's at 92-93. He is the absolute backup for the Phillies. 0-24 whiffs on that. You don't want to touch it. Clay Holmes for the Mets is still doing the things that the Adobe has made me afraid of, which is 5.1 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. 7-14 strikes on the changeup. It was 5 whiffs, though. That's not really the problem. The problem is 57% strikes on the sinker, because he doesn't command this thing well. And that was actually him as a reliever a little bit. I was hoping that he would maybe fine-tune it at the lower velocity, but it hasn't been the case. While he's filled up the zone with sliders and sweepers effectively, and that's cool, but for him to be a six-inning guy, you gotta limit the walks, and that starts with the sinker location. So I'm worried that you're going to see a whip close to 120 on Clay Holmes, because I don't think he's really a hard contact suppressor massively. He's more of a, should be a quick out generator. But with the wild sinker, it's like a 25% K rate with a like 117 whip and a 3.7 ERA or something, which is like such a borderline Holly. And it's like a worse version of Framber Valdez. That's kind of what I think of right now with Clay Holmes. Not from an arsenal standpoint, but more from a results standpoint. Now you have Michael McGreevy, 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. And the Cardinals have said, look, we want you to be in the rotation. So they're going to a 6-man just to get McGreevy in there. And the way that Quinn Matthews pitched in his other game was 4 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. I found out that if you get demoted to AAA, you can still pitch in the spring. I didn't realize that, and that's kind of cool. But he came in, and honestly, the second he comes up, Quinn Matthews, you want to add him. I see him as an SP3 or 4 in fantasy for your 12 teamers when he does. It's just a stable Holly throughout the year. And I love this. So keep an eye on that. Especially if they're going 6-man early, they might just make it 6-man. So the first time someone's out, it might be Quinn Matthews. Really keep an eye on that. Sonny Gray went in the start of that game, 4.2 innings of 5 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. Sometimes he's Sonny, sometimes he's Gray. He was also 2 ticks down in velocity to 90.6, and we've seen that all spring, and considering how much he squeezed out of his sweeper last year and his sinker to get those strikeouts, I am not excited about this whatsoever. I am not drafting Sonny Gray. Kiedier Montero, as I mentioned, went to AAA. He pitched relatively well, though, yesterday, 4.1 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And he does have increased vert on that four-seamer at 17 inches. It's a little bit of a better heater now, which is good because really that wasn't his strong suit. Still, he's not really anyone when he does get those opportunities I want chasing 12-teamers. Same for as a streamer. In 15-teamers, he's okay as a Toby, I guess, at that point. Borderline one. You have Carlos Rodon also going yesterday. And really the most important part here was to see his changeup against right-handers. Is he doing that a lot? Yes, 30% usage, 4.2 innings, 0 runs, 6 base runners, 5 Ks because of it. And it was a 68% strike rate on that changeup, with 5 over 19 whiffs. As long as Rodon is doing that, he's going to be that guy you want him to be. And I consider him a much better play than Clay Holmes as a better strikeout guy, better win guy, and just overall a better version of Clay Holmes. And I've been able to get him actually as my SP4 a lot, especially doing the strategy, especially as I did actually in the Pitcherless Legacy League, which is, to me, the most competitive 12-team head-to-head Roto League I do. I do Tout Wars, which is CBS points. And in this one, it's a snake draft. That's an auction draft for tout. I was able to go 8 straight hitters. And then I actually went Josh Hader in the 9th because it was Josh Hader was there. So what did I have to do? Of course, I have to pivot to starting pitching. Unfortunately, my 10th round pick was Shane McClanahan, who now, of course, is hurt. And Robbie Ray in the 11th. But to get Carlos Rodon in the 12th and then Seth Lugo after, I'm surprised I took Seth Lugo. But considering I felt I was already more behind a little bit more than I usually would because of Josh Hader, I felt I needed to get a guy I wouldn't drop the entire year. And that was Seth Lugo on the board. Kind of regret Jackson Job going next. The whole point here is that you're seeing Carlos Rodon in that 12th round, right? You're seeing him after Carlos Sanchez and Brian Wu and Sonny Gray and Kodai Senga, Hunter Brown, I think I already mentioned. That's the point I'm trying to get at in the Gavin Williams realm, Kikuchi realm, Shane Baz. That's a huge value jump for me. So I think that Rodon is going a little too far, and I'm very happy to have gotten him where I did. You have also Brady Singer going yesterday, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. What's interesting to see here is the four-seamer still being used a fair amount. And at first, I was really against it because on face value, it's not a good four-seamer. It just isn't. But paired with the sinker, I think Singer actually needs a second fastball inside the zone that isn't very good, but then makes the sinker better for having something else that gives hesitation to batters when they see fastball velocity in the zone. Now, a 52% strike rate, I think it's bad, but at the same time, it means that he's nibbling, and he was nibbling this four-seamer, which also is good because you really don't want batters swinging at this pitch. You don't want them or really making contact on it. If they're swinging at it, generally it means that it's going to be favorable to the hitter and in play, but nibbling and being out of the zone a lot means that they can't do that as much. It's an interesting give and take of like, okay, how much better are we making the sinker, and can we get away with a 52% strike rate because of that, right? We just don't want this to be a super high strike rate, which means that a lot of contact is being made and thus results are poor because it should be hit pretty well. So Brady Singer doing this, I think, is interesting, and that's cool. 2 out of 26 whiffs is why this wasn't as good a Brady Singer start as it should. That was on the slider, and the slider generally does well. So interesting stuff there, Brady Singer. You have Logan Evans going 3 innings, 200 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. And the thing about that is with Logan Evans, he's fighting with Emerson Hancock as the SP5 for the Mariners, and neither one is really showcasing themselves as a starter who should be relevant for fantasy. We have Antonio Sensatella going 5.2 innings and 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks, and yep, he is around. He is a thing. We have Yusei Kikuchi also going, Logan Gilbert, Hunter Green, and I know that there was no data or video for Cole Reagans, but I texted him, and he gave me a really good report of his game, which was, I know, terrible. It was an atrocity, but I will tell you what he said, and I also share it with my Discord as well, and it's one of the major reasons why you need to join our Discord. Get 15% of PL Pro yearly with promo code PODCAST in all caps, PODCAST. Do that today. But I will tell you right now on this podcast what Cole Reagan said after this break. As you say, Kikuchi went 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks, and he featured the slider and four-seamer about 2/3 of the time. That's exactly what we want to see. That is Kikuchi. The reason I'm out on him is because when he's failing at that, he won't have a backup and he won't have the Angels to help him, really, as he has those problems in season. So I'm a little afraid of Kikuchi, but seeing this out of the gate means if he's going as my SP 5 or 6 instead, I'll take that because I think I'll have value in April if Kikuchi is going that approach. Jose Suarez, 1.1 innings and 1 run. All I'm trying to say is that we will see him get some starts this year, I'm sure. And if he has this changeup like he did here, that's cool. Logan Gilbert, looked like Logan Gilbert, 300 runs in 5.2 innings, but 7 Ks and 5 base runners. And we saw 6 over 16 whiffs on the splitter. That's nice. We like that. But the heater doesn't get whiffs, 3 over 27 in this one. And yeah, it's kind of the same Logan Gilbert, which is good. He was amazing last year. So that's cool. Hunter Green is looking like a better version of himself. 17 inches of vert. And 99 mile per hour fastballs. He was at 97 and change last year. We also are seeing slider strikes, 60% here and 8 over 35 whiffs. Like, it's all good. And I know 300 runs and 6 hits and 2 walks and 7 Ks in just 5 innings, fine. But this version of Hunter Green is a better Hunter Green. And honestly, I've been really down on what he did last year. This is kind of showcasing, no, this is more of the same. And I should think of him as the 100 grain of 2024 and not the one of a mix of 2023 and 2024. I can say things like 100 grain. Okay. Drew Rasmussen, 4.2 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And I was sniped in the PL Legacy League for him, and I'm really sad about it. I was debating between him and Dustin May, and I felt that Dustin May would get more volume out of the gate. But, man, I wish I got Rasmussen. I hate everything. Okay. You get Rasmussen in your leagues. All right, cool. Chris Salas is going to ace. AJ Smith-Shawver showed up for 4 innings, though. 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks. He might be the 5th starter for Atlanta. I don't want to go after him if he does, because I don't really see anything explosive out of AJ Smith-Shawver. This one was no data, but I don't really know what his best pitch is, and the four-seamer is kind of dead zone-y. I need to see him really dominate and showcase, look, this is the kind of guy I am, for me to risk the shag rug of Smith-Shawver. For what's worth, though, being the 5th guy for Atlanta is a good thing. You are going to get a better offense behind you, and that means you should get more wins. But I'm just not seeing that overpowering arm. I'm really excited for his first start. And if you have nothing to chase, but AJ Smith-Shawver is out there, what the heck? Let's just see how he does, especially if you want to drop the guy that goes opening weekend and you have nothing else to chase as the SP5. That might be a good one just to take as a spec ad. If, of course, AJ Smith-Shawver does get that 5th job. You have Kyle Hendricks. Yeah, he's kind of had a good spring. This was 5 innings of 1 run, but you don't want to do it. Reed Detmers, 3.2 innings of 2 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Don't get seduced. Please don't. Nathan Eovaldi, 4 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, 1 K. Don't overlook Eovaldi as a good play out of the gate. I think he's going to be a Holly. Like, just quietly be good. Like, he's in my SP50s or so, because it's like, yeah, if you need something that is just like, hey, I need starters right away that are fine and good and can get me wins and keep me competitive, that is Nathan Eovaldi. He's better than a Toby. He's not quite in Holly territory. Maybe he is. Like, he should have a better than 20% K rate, right? I don't know. You have Garrett Crochet, 5.1 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 9 Ks. Ace is going to ace. Mitch Keller had a good game of 3 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I could be totally wrong about him, but I just don't really want to go after him. I think that he's okay when he has his command going, but there's nothing that stands out, and you don't really want to bank on Mitch Keller having his command. Speaking of command, Freddie Peralta didn't have it clearly. 3.1 innings of 10 runs, 8 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. Professor Chaos, oh my gosh, but at least he saw it in the spring and not in April, right? I mean, good luck. And Corbin Burnes, oh gosh, so many guys got just demolished in their final tune-up. 2.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 11 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I'm imagining that the cutter was not the ideal cutter. I'm just going to throw that out there. Obviously, we can't adjust on this one, but man, that's not fun to see at all. You have Luis Severino. This is no data or no TV. Luis Severino, 5.1 innings, 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He's going to get a good matchup in Seattle out of the gate, and he's another one of those arms that if it's at the end of the draft and you just need something for that first weekend, Severino is a sneaky streaming play. I dig that one. I would start that. It's a probable start for me for Severino in Seattle. And Cole Reagans, okay, 4.2 innings of 0 runs, 11 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout, right? How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Having no data or no TV is terrifying with this. So I texted him, and what I got back was very good. 96 to 100 on the fastball. So you might be thinking, oh no, his velocity has been down all spring, which it has been sometimes like 94 and change. That was not this. And there you go. That's already should be settling for you. Apparently they hit 2 changeups for home runs as they were pretty much just swinging at everything. And his fastballs leaked over the plate too much and they got hits on those. Everything that Cole Reagans was saying was just like, no, my stuff felt good. I felt really good and like everything's fine. I have like some minor mechanical tweaks to make sure that those pitches don't leak out more, but velocity's good. Everything else is fine. He's getting his reps. Like, do not treat this as like, oh, Cole Reagans is bad. I understand also that sometimes getting extra information, pitchers are always going to speak highly of themselves, all of that. Knowing that it's 96 to 100, like, come on. This is not the thing that you were afraid of. Cade Horton, 2 innings, 0 runs. It's just cool to see him. And, well, I didn't see him, but just know he exists and he's still pitching and ramping up. And hopefully at some point he gets into their Cubs rotation and actually becomes a staple for them. Michael King, 5 innings of 0 runs, and everything is wonderful. 1 hit, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Randy Vasquez might be the SP5 for the Padres. 4 innings of 1 and run, 2 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. I don't think that you want to go after Randy Vasquez. I don't think he's providing enough in that arsenal. Logan Webb did really well. 1 earned run in 5.2 innings of 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. I hope that the wider arsenal is going to allow the changeup to get the results that it deserved last year instead of everybody sitting on the pitch last year. So I'm a fan of Logan Webb this year. Ben Lively, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Don't overlook Ben Lively. I know I've been saying this, but like, I'm into him in the Guillotine League a little bit. I'm considering him just because I think Ben Lively can go 6 innings and quietly be okay for the Guardians. His 4-seamer and sinker can do well inside the zone over the plate. He has good extension. That means that he gets good separation on it, tunnels them well, and it's why he got lucky last year. He deserved some of that luck. I'm not saying that he's going to be amazing. I'm not saying you should get him in a 12-teamer, but he's not destined to have like a 5-5 ERA or something like that. And he has a rotation spot. Albert Suarez, as I said before, did poorly. 4.2 innings, 800 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. And with it being Kramer and Morton and Eflin locked in, Sugano, Suarez, and Povich are the ones that are trying to fight for 2 spots. It feels like it should be Sugano. So then it's probably Povich, right? We'll see. Tarek Skubal was absurd. 9 strikeouts in 6 innings. Ace is going to ace. Michael Soroka was not. 4 walks in this one. 4.2 innings, 600 runs, 5 hits, and 3 Ks for Soroka. I think he has an SP5 spot, and he had 4 walks in this, which feel like an exception. So I'm just going to kind of brush this one off. It's unfortunate. We're not going to see him for a long time. In a lot of moments when it's an SP5 for a team, I'm trying as much as I can to avoid drafting that guy unless I feel like I'm going to be holding him past that first one anyway, right? Like Dustin May, I know I'm going to be continuing to hold. If Drew Rasmussen's SP5, yeah, I'm going to be holding that one. Jackson Jobe, yeah, of course, right? So those are the ones I'm going for as my SP5s, but the ones that are like Soroka or, I don't know, like Ben Lively or something like that, Chris Bubich, I'm not really trying to do it because I have to wait longer to make that decision. And I don't want to do that. I want to make as many quick decisions as possible. It includes even just days before they make the first start. And Cal Quantrill, 4 innings, 0 runs, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. That's nice, but like, don't go after Cal Quantrill. I know he had a good moment last year with his splitter. Highly doubtful that he has his great splitter right now, but maybe he does. I mean, I'll let you know the first game of the year. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Good luck this draft weekend. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.